Among the speaking of the past, what is the Lord of the Lord? without number of the day. Become familiar with this fortune, the atheist and the narrative, lowest of man. Do not surrender to the Supreme Lord of the God. Therefore, although the Supreme Lord Krishna is full in himself, he appears in different beauties to demand the surrender of the Krishna's soul, so that they are benefited by becoming free from the material process. In conclusion, only again in Krishna consciousness, and when the service of the Lord, the more we benefit. Krishna does not need service from any of us.
In the Vedas, there are so many different kinds of dharmas for different kinds of people. If you want to get some material benefits, then so many different options are given. Just like now with Chaturmas, the 4 months when the Lord is asleep. And I was looking at the Puranas. So much is said to attract the materialistic people with different material benefits if you do Chaturmas. If somebody doesn't, if they sleep on the ground for 4 months and they get this benefit. If you don't take any wheat, barley or rice for 4 months, then you can go to Indra's heaven. If you don't take any gur or sugar for 4 months, you become very sweet disposition. Like that, there's so many different things that one can get, but then of course it says that ultimately the whole purpose is to please Vishnu. So if you do it to please Vishnu, then you go back to Krishna. The Puranas are giving us so many different advices about civilized life. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, specifically the Amala Puran, it's just a pure Puran, which is specifically telling us how to engage in devotional service. Vishnu Puran is saying a man who is devoted to his wife is said to be a celibate. He who forsakes his wife is lower than a dog eater. He who abandons his wife is guilty of the sin of abortion. The different kinds of advice that people are getting for different activities, but of course the pure devotee would never think to do anything wasn't purely pleasing to Krishna. So during the 4 months of Chaturmas, anything we do for Krishna, bathing, charity, japa, sacrifices, self-study of the Shastra, deity worship, it's all inexhaustible. If you listen, read the Srimad Bhagavatam or any once or twice during the chapter month, you go back to Godhead. If you chant the holy name during the chapter month, it's 1 crore times more beneficial. And if you hear the glories of the Chaturmas, it's like taking a Ganga bath there. But then there's so many things to be avoided. In the first month, strictly one, there's the bare minimum we have to do in Chaturmas, and if someone doesn't do any vrata during Chaturmas, he's going to go to hell. The bare minimum is the first month no spinach, second month no yogurt, third month no milk, right? And the fourth month no non-veg or heavy protein. Since we're already vegetarian, we avoid the heavy protein, like urga. Then there's other things recommended to avoid, you know, those are the minimum. Then there are many other things that people avoid. Today I was surprised to see even pomegranate, honey, and coconut. There's no one left, what gets left at the end of the fight. At least Prabhupada, he did observe this minimum 4 things. So different people, they do things for different purposes. But Krishna, he's saying, you give up all varieties of religious activities and surrender unto me. So ultimately, surrendering to Krishna, that's the most beneficial thing. The Prabhupada says here, some foolish scholars say, ah, that's too much. Too much. Surrender everything to Krishna, too much. How is that possible? We can't do that. Sometimes you hear devotees say, well, I'm not Krishna conscious. I'm not a pure devotee. How can I do that? To say something like that is all foolishness. We need to do the thing which is going to be the most beneficial for us. And that means the most beneficial is to do what's pleasing to Krishna. Even if we're not able to do it perfectly, at least we should try the best we can. So throughout the Vedas, it always gives different options. Finally, it gives the final option. All right, if you do this, this is the best. So you find that this final option is usually that we always come to is that to worship Vishnu. But there are the people who are Naradamas, lowest among mankind, grossly foolish, Murdhas, Maya, Yapahitagyanas, those whose intelligence is stolen by Maya, and Divas. They don't want to surrender to Krishna. Alright, they can do some of the other things and get highest results. But actually the most important thing to do is surrender to Krishna. So this serving to Krishna, Prahlad is saying everybody can do that. In fact, everybody should do that. Although he was born in a family of demons, he was not averse to worshiping Krishna, rather he was spontaneously attracted. Therefore he got so much spiritual blessing that he could see the Lord face to face. In the next verse he also says that anybody who offers with full endeavor prayers to the Lord as far as their intelligence allows, even though they were forced to enter this world of ignorance, they get purified of material life through this offering and hearing of prayers to the Lord. So we're all listening to Prahlad's prayers to the Lord. So we're getting purified from material life. This is essential. Lord Chaitanya, he prescribed that everyone should do Nitya Bhagavata Sevaya every day, hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. When he was traveling to Nilachal, he went to a place called forget the name of the place, it will come back to Varaha. It's just outside of Calcutta by Dakineshwar, the place where the Bhagavad Acharya was, what they call that? Huh? Yeah, Varaha Nagar. The Nagar of Lord Varaha Dev. He visited there, and there was one devotee who was giving Bhagavatam class every day. So Lord Chaitanya sat down and listened to his Bhagavatam class. He liked it so much that he embraced the devotee and said, "Your Bhagavatam is superb, pure bhakti Bhagavat. From now I'm giving you the title Bhagavat Acharya. And your service is to every day give Bhagavatam class." That's his seva for the whole life. So the rest of his life he took the order of Lord Chaitanya and continued giving Bhagavatam class without fail. So someone was Namacharya, who was that? Haridasa Thakur. So this devotee was Bhagavad Acharya. Still they kept that temple where the Bhagavad Acharya was. Now it's being worshipped by the Nitya Gaurani Shambhu. I don't know if they have Bhagavatam class there, but the temple is still there where Lord Chaitanya visited. Like this, there are so many holy places all over Bengal where Lord Chaitanya, Advaita, Nityananda, Gadadhar, Srivath visited. Radha was going and preaching also. What is the name of that village by Kachwa where he is leading? Barak Nagar? Barakpur? Barak? Huh? Barakpur? Huh? Barakpur. He went there and the whole village came out and told him that we want, they heard his lecture, everything, they said, we all want to surrender to Krishna. Please guide us. So because they've all surrendered and said we want to be guided, then he told his disciple, you have to stay here and guide them. His disciple was the son of Dvija Vanina. His younger brother, whose temple is in Chapahati, the Gorganai temple, Gorganadhar temple. He said, how, Gurudev, you know, how can I leave you? I can't, I want to be traveling with you. He said, no, these people are surrendered, we have to guide them, so they have to go back. Nandi, brother, you stay here. Means Kaya, I can't live without him. Look at here. Around his neck he had a deity of Krishna. This looks like a miniature of the Sota Gopinath deity standing up. Called Keo Krishna. He gave that to his disciple. You keep this deity in worship. What will I teach them? I don't have any scripture. So he had his personal copy of the Bhagavad Gita, which Lord Chaitanya had written it. Given his blessing. So he gave his own copy of Bhagavad Gita, signed by Lord Chaitanya. He was determined to reciprocate with his people who said they wanted to surrender. And so that the disciples stayed there and trained them up. And even to this day, the whole village is centered around the deity. Every temple, every house has a temple in their house with their personal altar and with an empty altar. And the deity is taken in procession every day in rotation to each house in the community. And goes there, and the Brahmana devotees, the whole boy, that when the husband takes off, he firstly cooks for the deities, helped by his wife. The whole family is cooking for the deity. The deity goes to the house in a kirtan procession, and then they offer the bhoga to the deity, stays there for an hour or so while they do arti, kirtan, everything, and he's taken back to his temple for rest. You know about that? So everybody is completely focused on that deity. Even to this day, they're continuing on after 500 years with that tradition. The Bhaktivedanta Swami Charity Trust fixed up their temple. They still have the original Bhagavad Gita, written by Radha Prabhu and signed by Lord Chaitanya. But so many people have put their head on the point where Lord Chaitanya signed it, that that part's wiped out. Now they keep it in a glass case. Otherwise, it's very fragile. The same deity of Radha Prabhu is still there. Haribol, ayo traduksyon, aki. So it's mostly for Skuskarno on the traduksyon. For the same time, Asa Vilan, thank you. So like this, how Gadadhar Prabhu, how all the Panchatattva were preaching, came down from Golok Vrindavan, and if people wanted to surrender to Krishna, immediately they facilitate. We shouldn't think that, I'm not a pure devotee, I can't do this, I can't surrender. We should think that, I want to be a pure devotee, I want to surrender, help me, give me your mercy, I'm the most fallen, I have no qualification, I need your mercy more than anyone, help me! Because they pleaded with Gadadhar like that, we want your mercy, we want to learn how to be pure devotees, we want to do it. Just guide us. Alright. If we say, I'm not a pure devotee, it means I don't want to be a pure devotee. Of course, we shouldn't even say, whoever says, I'm a pure devotee, I'm doing this because I'm a pure devotee. No pure devotee would say that. Says the Uttamalaka, he thinks himself lower than the world. So what we should be, just like Prahlad, we should be determined. He said, I'm a demon, I have no qualification, but it's the Lord's mercy that anybody can chant His glory, and if you chant the Lord's glory, you get glorified. Because we're become trying to be devotees of the Lord, we're glorifying the Lord. It's like the reflection of the Lord has ornament. If we are glorifying the Lord, we also become decorators. Because we're a reflection of the Lord by glorifying Him. It's interesting, I was a little late today, I'm sorry, I got, because the next chapter after Chaturmas was about the Vishnu Sahasranam. And it started out saying, Kali Yuga, the process of chanting the holy name. So that's always nice to read that. And we know that. And then Parvati was asking, well, can you tell me about the names of Vishnu? And the Lord was saying, well, to the devotee who knows that there's nothing in this world that's real. Everything else is false except for the holy name of the Lord. Simply by chanting the two syllables, Ha! Ri! Hari! 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 They get free. They get purified of all the contamination. So somebody who chants the name of Krishna in the morning, in the noon, in the night, he's already in the eternal state. Japa, chanting all the time, no help. So if you just chant the name of Rama three times, Rama! 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 Your mind gets purified. And if you chant the name of Krishna three times, Krishna! 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 You just visited all the holy places. And if you chant with great joy the holy name of Narasimhadev, whatever you get in Satya Yuga of meditation, train the yoga by Homa and Fire Yajna, and in Dharma Yuga by temple worship, you get in Kali Yuga by chanting the holy name of Hari. Avishnu. So then there was a lad where the thousand names of Vishnu told the Parvati, so what are the thousand names? But at the very end it was very interesting that the Lord Shiva says, anyway, if you just chant one time the name of Rama, I think we'll do the thousand names of Vishnu. The whole chapter glorifying the thousand names of Vishnu, then the final closing verse, it just chant once the name of Rama, and as equal one time, 1,000 names of Vishnu. And 3 times, one time name of Krishna, 3,000 names of Vishnu. Then like you're saying, there's always something for everybody. And if you chant 1,000 names of Vishnu, then for the Brahmanas, they get the absolute truth. For the Kshatriyas, they get victory. For the Vaishyas, guess what they get? Well, and for the Sudras, happiness. Oh, then to the Sudras mean they want sense gratification, sense happiness. Kshatriyas, they want victory even more than the sense gratification sometimes. Such an issue for them. And for the Vaishyas, money. They sacrifice so much energy to get money. But the Sudras, they just want that sense happiness. Sukh. So we're born in Kali Yuga, Kalo Sudra Sambhava, our nature, everybody wants sense gratification, everybody wants sense happiness. We're all born as Sudras. And Prabhupada, he wanted to elevate us from the level of sense gratification up to the level of being perfect Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. You see, but our tendency is always to go after the lower mode. So we need to appreciate how the Brahmana may understand these other things are not so important. Real achievement in life is to get Krishna, to get Param Brahma. So we have to also be focused. If you're devoting into a fish like Prahlad, he knows the goal of life. He may be 5-year-old, he may be born in a demon family, he may have so many tendencies, but he knows that the goal of life is Krishna. I want Krishna. Vishnu. We want simply the ultimate benefit we can achieve in life is to have pure Krishna consciousness. So Srila Prabhupada gave us this. We see how in the daily activities of the devotees, morning, noon and night, here in Mayapur, he said, if devotees are doing it, they should attend the noon arati also. So many people are coming. Especially today is Sunday, good day to attend noon arati. Although now it's rainy season, people are not so many guests are here. It's a bit quiet, peaceful time. In the winter, it'll be packed already with people. Midday is packed with people. Still there'll be more people at lunch. So probably have the morning, noon and night, especially morning and evening, every devotee is participating in kirtan. This way we can be already in the spiritual world. So he gave us, Srila Prabhupada gave us a full program. All the essential items are there. Automatically we're getting all the benefits without even knowing about it. Whatever desirable in life, it's all there. Simply chant Hare Krishna and be happy. If I go to the heaven and say, Hare Krishna, Gauranga, Sitara, Gadai, Shiva, Hare Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Any questions or comments? Srila Prabhupada, you are saying that people grow their hair and fingernails and things. I mean, the Gaudiya Mata has been doing so much. They eat everything except the four things, and maybe they don't take certain kind of brinjal and the barabati bean and one or two other things. Otherwise, they're eating everything. So Srila Prabhupada said, if you're really doing a fast, you know, like only avishana, no salt, khichdi, and eating once in a day or something, doing some more serious fast, then he said, it's all right, you can grow your hair and also not shave and everything. He thought it was like a kind of a false show. They're growing their hair and everything like they're doing some big tapasya. But maybe all they're doing is avoiding portal, which is not anyway hardly available in the rainy season anyway. But so he didn't think that was very important. But if he wanted to do vrat, somebody wants to do a special vrat, they can. There's all kinds of vrats you can do. One of the vrats is not to cut your hair and fingernails for 2 months and then cut. Then again, don't cut for 2 months. But Srila Prabhupada specifically said, don't do that unless you're also doing some other dietary heavy fasting. That's why we don't do it. Sometimes, those who are fasting, they do it. I did for 1 year, we did 4 months. Complete. Avishana fasting. Some pictures. The other thing was Prabhupada, he wanted us to go out and preach. So he wasn't so interested that we just sit in the dock. Someone has to be here anyway. They're doing a pujari or doing some service here. They want to do some vrat as possible. The point is, we don't want to just be a show. It's really doing something for some austerities or pleasing Krishna, then it's all right. Otherwise everybody's going their hair, but they're not doing anything. So it looks like, if our Westerners did that, it looks like big Bairagi Babas. Rather wanted to mean something more. Yes, Gana Gavan. Say what? The Lord is always glorious, but the devotee glorifies Him or not. But if the devotee engages in glorifying the Lord, the devotee himself automatically becomes glorious. Chetadarpanamarjanam. By glorifying the Lord constantly, the living entity becomes purified in the core of his heart. And thus he can understand that he does not belong to the material world, but is a spirit soul whose actual activity is to advance in Krishna consciousness so that he may become free from material clutches. Thus the blazing fire of material existence is immediately extinguished. Bhava Mahadevagini Vapadam. Good point. Rather, maybe he read from the other group. This one didn't come. Yeah. Well, absolute truth can be in three levels. Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavaniti, Sabyate. The complete Parabrahma means Bhagwan. But Absolute is also impersonal, Brahman and Paramatma. So Brahmana, some Brahmanas may be after impersonal Brahman, some may be after Paramatma, and Brahmana Vaishnavas are after the Supreme Personhood, the realized Supreme Personality of God. Janivas Prabhu. Everybody heard that? He said, what is the meaning of unmotivated devotional service? Because to hear by worshiping the Lord, you get purified from all your contaminations, and so it seems you're benefiting. Is that it in a nutshell? The Lord's complete, so it's not for his benefit. The Lord is pleased when devotees worship him. It's not that he's benefited by it. It's not that if they don't do it, he's going to suffer. But if they worship him, he's pleased by it. Pleasing to him. Because it's also the just like the little son treats the mother and father nicely, maybe pleasing to them. Maybe not in great need of any help from the little baby, but they're pleased if he's nice and cooperative and servicial. So, when the Lord is pleased, we benefit. Now, spiritually, if we benefit, we become purified from material contamination, and if we become situated in pure devotional service, that's certainly for our benefit. But that, Prabhupada explained, is in harmony with the Lord's desire. In other words, if you're doing something that's pleasing to Krishna, and by doing it you're also benefiting, that doesn't disqualify doing it. That's the bona fide way of benefiting yourself. Do the things which are pleasing to Krishna and be benefited that way. The materialistic way is that people do something only for their own benefit and they don't care about pleasing Krishna. So that entangles them in material life. But if we always do things that are pleasing to Krishna, even though we know that we're also benefiting by that, it's not that we don't benefit by it, we automatically benefit. But by doing the things that are pleasing to Krishna, then there's no contradiction. There's no conflict of interest. Without even thinking about themselves, the devotee can just think about pleasing Krishna, automatically their benefit. So some devotee may be worrying about their self-interest. So if they're worrying about their self-interest, the best self-interest is still to be gotten by worshiping Krishna. And if somebody is not even worrying about their self as such, they're just in love with Krishna and they want to please Krishna, still they get the benefit. They're not deprived. That also is confirmed by that verse, akamo sarvakamo va moksha kamo udaridi tibrena bhakti jogena jideta purusham param. Whether one is free of all desires, sarva kama, filled with all desires, material desires, moksha kama, wants to get liberation from material bondage, they should do pure unalloyed devotional service. In other words, unalloyed means you just try to please Krishna. Leave the rest up to Krishna. He knows what you want. If you have all desires, it would make you a Indra or some king or some whatever it is that will satisfy your material desires.